Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a truly unique plunge. We're looking into a very specific corner of the internet.
Yeah, very specific.
Our source material for this deep dive is edition number 151 of a Homestuck general thread. Now, for anyone listening, this is basically a sprawling, kind of fragmented collection of raw, rapid-fire posts, images, and some incredibly candid discussions.
Right. And Homestuck itself, it's this huge multimedia webcomic known for incredibly complex lore, massive fan base, very passionate.
Exactly. So it's a lot to sift through.
And that's kind of our mission here, isn't it? To cut through all that noise, that chaos, and pull out some surprising insights.
What are we looking for exactly?
We're trying to see how these online communities really function day to day, how users are grappling with new tech like AI, which pops up a lot here, and just the complex, sometimes really wild world of fan culture, media interpretation.
Even when the conversations seem, completely off the rails.
Especially then, maybe. There's always something there about digital discourse, I think.
Okay, so think of this as your shortcut, maybe, to understanding these fascinating, sometimes baffling undercurrents of online life.
Yeah, a guided tour through the madness, perhaps.
Ah, maybe. We're expecting some unexpected aha moments, definitely. So let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So kicking things off, what immediately grabs you when you look at this thread? For me, it's the incredibly raw, direct communication style.
Oh, absolutely. It's rapid fire and, very little filter.
Like none at all sometimes.
And what's really key here, I think, is the sheer candor, but also the very specific in-group language they use. It's almost a dialect.
Can you give an example?
Well, you see terms like smurf constantly used as a substitute for profanity, which is, kind of clever, bypasses filters, but everyone knows the intent.
Right. It still carries that emotional weight.
Exactly. Or more aggressively, phrases like cull yourself uses this really extreme dismissal. And then you have group identifiers like Deucites.
What does that one mean?
It refers to Prospect and Durs, the two kingdoms in Homestuck Skya Battlefield. It's deep lore stuff used casually. It reveals this unique linguistic landscape. It's not just slang. It's like social currency in that space.
So it's like a secret code then. But what does that tell us about how the community actually works? Because it feels like this language leads to some really intense dynamics.
It absolutely does. You see users constantly accusing each other of trolling or projection, sometimes calling people uppity.
And there's that whole debate within the thread itself, isn't there?
Yeah.
About whether it's just a bully bin.
Exactly. Or if there's actually more nuance to their interactions, as some argue. Which raises a big question, right?
Which is,
in these kinds of anonymous, very fluid online spaces, how do people negotiate conflict? How do they establish any kind of social norms?
And that ties into that specific user they keep arguing about, right? Lucas.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. The ongoing arguments around him. You have one person flat out saying he's legitimately not okay in the head, while others are just expressing this intense frustration. It really shows how personal, almost obsessive, these digital feuds can become.
It does feel deeply personal, even through the screen.
It highlights how these spaces can turn into these really emotional, almost unfiltered battlegrounds.
And you can almost feel the real world stuff bleeding in, can't you? It's not just about the forum drama.
Totally. People mention things like can't smurfing sleep or feet hurt. Just everyday annoyances.
But then mixed with bigger things, like someone feeling depressed over Watchmen discourse.
Yeah. It's this fascinating mix where, like, minor daily gripes and genuinely deep, maybe even existential questions just collide in the same space.
So what's the bigger picture takeaway from all that?
I think it really illustrates how these online forums often become these outlets for completely unfiltered expression. And sometimes it's hard to tell what's genuine sentiment versus performative negativity.
That line gets blurry.
Very blurry. It's just a raw human snapshot of digital life, really. Where that mask of anonymity allows for this, just extraordinary frankness, for better or worse.
Okay, so moving from the sort of general vibe, something else that really caught my eye was how much they're talking about AI.
Oh yeah, that's huge in this thread.
It's buzzing with it. People actively experimenting with AI tools, right? For generating images, even for summarization. Someone noted its ability to summarize information again.
And what's striking there is how immediate the user-driven investigation is. They're not just playing with it. They're probing its limits, its biases, right away.
What kind of biases are they finding or think they're finding?
Well, they observe that the AI image generation seems to have an anti-Lole bias, as they put it, and something against large eyes.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, and sometimes it just categorizes images they feed it as cartoon garbage. There's even speculation, kind of conspiratorial, about anti-AI programming being deliberately embedded within the AI itself.
So they're trying to figure out why it flips from generating what they want, like an anime girl, to just rejecting it as cartoon garbage.
Exactly. It's this frontline interrogation. It shows that these digital natives, they aren't passive consumers at all. They're basically the earliest de facto beta testers.
And they're finding the flaws.
Often finding critical flaws, or at least raising societal anxieties, way before the more formal institutions even catch up.
So what's the sort of key takeaway here then? Is it just about the tech limitations?
I think it's bigger than that. It's not just about what the AI can do, but what it won't do or maybe can't do, and what biases users perceive it has.
And the money side too, right? Someone was complaining about that.
Yes. That sarcasm about AI companies claiming rights to what you make with this and charging, quote, Silicon Valley rent for generated content. Early concerns about the commercialization and ownership.
So these are big questions they're grappling with.
Absolutely. It brings up that crucial point. As AI gets everywhere, how are we going to navigate ownership, intellectual property, these embedded biases?
And that comment about AI refusing to analyze certain images, leading someone to say AI is inherently demonic, that feels significant.
It really does. It reflects this, like, nascent societal anxiety. It moves beyond just tech problems into almost philosophical, even spiritual territory for some users. Fear of the unknown, maybe.
So it's clear users aren't just consuming AI here. They are actively interrogating it, its ethics, its practical uses, right from the digital front lines.
It's a remarkable level of engagement, really.
Yeah.
Probing, testing, questioning, everything.
And this intense engagement, it's not just with AI, is it? It seems like part of a much broader pattern in these digital communities. Deep investment in the media they consume and, importantly, create.
Exactly. Which leads us perfectly into the whole world of online fandoms that this thread reveals.
Right, because it started as a Homestuck general board, and the discussions keep circling back to Homestuck specifics, don't they? Characters like Rosalant, Rezzy.
Constantly. There's even that suggestion somebody made to save Homestuck by reimagining Rose as Alice in Wonderland. A fan theory pitch, basically.
Okay, but beyond just chatting about the original, they're building stuff too.
Oh, massively. I think a key takeaway here is just how collaborative fan lore creation is. You see users deep in the weeds defining characters for these fan-made wikis, like something called Epic Universe and Stick World.
What are they defining?
Everything. Assigning power levels, deity levels, debating specific character forms like Viaton's base form or the nature of Orionian aliens. It's incredibly detailed.
Wow.
It just highlights the immense dedication, the sheer level of detail fans pour into these universes they love. They're building on the original, expanding its canon collaboratively.
And this dedication, it extends to fan art too, right? Which sometimes pushes boundaries, maybe in unsettling ways.
Definitely. Users comment on how fan artists evolve. They mention going from, say, chubby Aradia's a character, to much more extreme, sometimes really explicit stuff.
Yeah, there was that comment about the wretched filth some Homestuck porn artists create.
Right. And alongside that, you also see discussions about character body representation, like chubby Rosalond, or debating how boobies jiggling are depicted in animations.
So it covers a whole spectrum.
It really illustrates that often controversial, boundary-pushing nature of fan expression. The freedom of these online spaces lets artists explore themes, sometimes taboo themes, that would just get shut down in mainstream media.
Which makes you wonder, though, what actually drives people to create and consume such niche, sometimes really explicit fan content?
That's a huge question. And the thread doesn't just stay within Homestuck. It gets into these critical comparisons, too, like Homestuck versus Watchmen.
How does that comparison go?
Well, there's frustration that Watchmen's deeper meanings, its complexities, are maybe not reciprocated by the wider public. People don't engage with it deeply enough, they feel.
Whereas Homestuck,
even though it's seen by outsiders maybe as a laughingstock, generates this incredibly intense, almost identity-forming level of engagement from its fans.
So active participation versus just passive consumption.
I think that's a big part of it. The ability to contribute, to build, to argue, it creates a much stronger bond.
So for you listening, what does this all mean? I guess it shows how these passionate communities can build these really intricate worlds, right? And critique established ones, too.
Definitely. But it also highlights some practical challenges. Like that user struggling to find specific RPG Maker horror games on Steam because the tagging is bad.
Right. They said you need dedicated, meticulous users. They use the term autists, but likely meaning hyper-focus, just to curate lists.
Exactly. The passion for the niche content is immense, but actually finding it in the vastness of the internet can be a real hurdle. Discovery is tough.
Okay, so delving even deeper now, these users aren't just fans or consumers, they're analysts, really keen analysts.
Absolutely. A significant chunk of the discussion dives into the Netrare genre, or NTR, in games.
Okay, maybe give a little context on NTR for listeners.
Sure. It's a genre, often originating from Japan, typically involves themes of infidelity, cuckoldry, focusing often on the psychological distress of the character being cheated on. It can be controversial.
And how are they analyzing it here?
They're really dissecting the psychological elements, contrasting the archetype of the insecure, quote, NTR bastard, the one doing the seducing, with a hapless victim figure. They're mapping out the tropes.
So connecting this to the bigger picture, it's a pretty sophisticated level of critical engagement, isn't it? With narrative tropes, even really uncomfortable ones.
Very much so. They even talk about the potential for making comedy about NTR, aiming for a kind of meta-commentary on the genre itself rather than just, you know, engaging with it directly.
That shows a pretty nuanced understanding of storytelling, even if the subject is provocative.
Absolutely. How a community can engage critically with even a controversial genre.
And they do this with specific game narratives too, right? Like Black Souls.
Yeah, they get deep into debating elements like the creator versus iterator meta battle in that game, analyzing the motivations of characters like someone called Mary Sue, who they describe, interestingly, as an edgy fanfic writer within the game's lore.
Huh. Meta on meta.
Right. And they discuss how gameplay options, like being able to turn off certain content, can lead to what they call slight characterization loss.
So they're scrutinizing narrative choices down to the smallest detail. The level of engagement is just incredible.
It really is. Which, again, makes you ask, what did these really in-depth discussions about niche or controversial genres tell us about audience sophistication today?
Yeah.
And how interactive storytelling is evolving.
It's not just passive viewing anymore.
Far from it. And you see this analytical depth in other areas too, like the music critiques. Highly opinionated takes on everything from technical death metal to symphonic black metal.
What kind of things do they talk about?
Oh, specifics. Smurfing riffs, complaining about Bring Down Hell in some metalcore, preferences for crustier and faster tempos in black metal.
So real nuanced engagement with subgenres.
Totally. Passionate stuff. Someone even notes that certain music gives them strength. It's clearly important to them.
And then there was that recurring theme of the gentle person, Yasashihito, that Japanese archetype. How does that fit in?
That was fascinating. They apply this cultural concept, emphasizing kindness, mildness, to analyze narrative outcomes in games and stories.
How so?
They dissect how characters either live up to this ideal of the gentle person or betray it, and what the consequences are within the narrative. Even when the surrounding discussion might be explicit or controversial, they're using this archetype as a lens.
It's another layer of analysis, a cultural lens on character development. Really interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, we have truly plunged into the deep end of online discourse today, haven't we?
We certainly have. It's been quite the journey.
From those raw, unfiltered conversations in an anonymous forum to the really intricate lore of fan-made universes and that critical dissection of niche genres, definitely full of unexpected turns.
And I think our deep dive really reveals that even in what looks like the most chaotic corners of the internet, you can find these incredibly rich insights.
Insights into what specifically?
Into human communication itself, into our evolving relationship with technology like AI, and just the boundless, sometimes bewildering creativity of fan culture.
It really highlights how quickly digital natives adapt, doesn't it? How they integrate these new tools into their social lives, their creative lives.
They're often leading the way, really, exploring new frontiers before anyone else.
Ultimately, what stands out to me is just the sheer energy and the intellectual curiosity, even when it's wrapped up in chaos or controversy.
Right. These spaces, they're not just echo chambers, are they? They feel more like laboratories. Yeah. Laboratories for new kinds of language, new forms of art, new ways of building community, constantly pushing boundaries, constantly evolving.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? What's the final thought?
Well, maybe consider this. The next time you stumble upon an online community that seems completely impenetrable, maybe hostile, maybe just weird, pause for a second. Try to listen closely.
What might you find?
What hidden lore is buried in their in-jokes? What surprising debates are happening just below the surface? what unexpected insights are lurking within their unique language, their specific obsessions.
You're saying the real deep stuff might be hidden in plain sight.
Maybe. You might just find that the deepest lore of our digital age, it's often found in the most unlikely, the most unfiltered, the most chaotic of places. Something to think about.